You guys ready for Friday night?
Yeah, I got my breath mints and high karate.
Next on the Wonder Years.
You got invited to a Robbie Hudson party.
Did you want to come to a little party?
Who's Robbie Hudson?
Who's Robbie Hudson?
Party time.
You two do make out, don't you?
So, I hear you're taking my little Gwendolyn to a makeout party.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Isn't this great?
Come on, guys. This way to heaven.
And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Love is in the air, Wonderlings. Kevin and Winnie are together at last, and life is great. I'm your host, Angela Bowen, of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. Today I'll be reviewing Season 3, Episode 17, Night Out, which aired on March 13th, 1990. In this episode, newly coupled Kevin and Winnie are pressured into attending a notorious makeout party. While at the party, it seems just like any other 8th grade party until the lights get turned off. The episode opens up with a scene from the 1960 version of Romeo and Juliet, and the song So Happy Together by the Turtles plays overhead as we see Kevin and Winnie meeting at the bus stop and then holding hands as they walk onto the bus. Then they're in class passing notes, feeding each other tater tots in the cafeteria. Oh, Napoleon Dynamite would be so proud. Tater tots. Then, gossiping with Carla and Paul on the way home from school on the bus about who's dating who and who broke up with who, etc. Kevin was relishing in this new world of being Winnie's boyfriend, doing stupid couple-y things because you could. Paul asks if they want a double date at the movies, and Kev and Win agree instantly, like, sure. Kevin picks up Winnie's hand and holds it. Oh, I am melting so much with love for them when I saw that. The next day in the lunchroom, Kevin and his crew are greeted by Robbie Hudson, asking if they want to go to a party at his place that Friday. Since Kevin and Winnie and Craig Hobson and Becky are the new couples of RFK Junior High, they're invited since it's a couples-only party. Kevin tells us this Robbie Hudson is RFK's Hugh Hefner Jr. So what, this kid throws massive orgies in his basement, hence the term couples only that he throws out there? This guy comes up to their lunch table looking all suave and wearing sunglasses. This guy just reeks of coolness, so much so that it's oozing out of his pores and giving off a high pheromone level. Really? So he's known for having STDs and bopping bunnies too? Kevin explains how Robbie was no ordinary ninth grader and his invitations made reputations. Becky tells him she and Craig would love to come, and that's when Paul comes up to Robbie, big smile plastered on his face, and Robbie turns to look at Paul like, Pfeiffer, right? Carly Healy? Paul tells him, yep, that's us, as Robbie just shrugs like, whatever. He tells him, groovy. Like, well, you're a couple, so I guess you could come. He pretty much just needs more bodies to fill that space of his basement. He eyes Kevin and Winnie, and Becky tells Robbie that those two will be there as well. Becky, Kevin's ex, is so jazzed to be going. Like, she is like, oh my gosh, this party's gonna be epic! Winnie looks so uneasy as she shyly asks, isn't that the party where they... And she trails off. Craig urges her to continue. She can't even say it. He's like, where they what? Winnie just says, never mind. You mean where they make out? Craig asks. Craig has the nerve to ask them, you guys do make out, don't you? Winnie tells him, of course we do. Kevin tells us they actually hadn't yet in real life. Well, of course, you know, Winnie had to say yes. I mean, she had to save face, right? Becky tells him, you guys are going to love Robbie Hudson's. And Craig begins to mention about how he's got this room all decked out and everything. But Kevin cuts him off like, hey, we get the picture, okay? Have Becky and Craig been there before, or have they just heard rumors about how it is from other people who have went? I noticed Craig Hobson's got a hickey on his neck that's barely covered by his shirt collar. Ew, Becky, seriously, have some class, girl. You can do much better than Hobson. I bet she does keep him in line, though. Kevin and Winnie tell them that they'll go. Since Kevin figures, well, Paul's gonna go, then we see Carla call Paul a rat and then slap him across the face. Well, looks like he told her. I'm sure she was like, all, fuck no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not going to a makeout party. Then the bell rings and Paul comes up to Kevin and Winnie while they're at their lockers. Paul is still holding his cheek with his hand and tells him, yeah, we're not going. And then he walks away. Well, no shit, Paul. Of course you're not. We kind of figured that while watching Carla slap you. Kevin then turns to Winnie and asks if she wants to go since Paul and Carla are obviously out. Like, do you want to go? I mean, they're not going, so, I mean, we don't have to go. I mean, well, they could always go to that movie they all agreed to see earlier on the bus. Winnie asks, well, do you want to go? And Kevin tells her, he would, it's just, you know, he wouldn't feel right about it since, you know, Paul can't go. And when he adds how, yeah, that probably wouldn't be nice. No, it wouldn't. Plus, it would feel super awkward. Going to a party with people there you only kind of know? No. I mean, it's not like going with people you're good friends with. That would easily be, you know, breaking the ice and everything if you're going with people you know versus like, you know them, you know, people at a party that are kind of not your friends, but they're just people that you see in school. Winnie then tells Kevin that, well, everyone expects us to show up and how, you know, we don't want to disappoint them. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, you gotta show face at least, make an appearance, right? They are a new couple and everything. Winnie then mentions that, well, we did agree to go with Paul and Carla to the movies. And Kevin agrees, yeah, you know, we did. But then Paul appears out of nowhere with Carla and tells him, hey, she agreed to go. We can all go together now. Carla pulls Winnie away, asking her what she'll be wearing to the party. I'd be like, clothes? In the Arnold kitchen, Wayne's drinking from the glass milk bottle as he exclaims, Robbie Hudson's? You got invited to a Robbie Hudson party? Well, Wayne's heard of the guy, so he must be a legend. But then again, we know Wayne's got spies all over that school since he always seems to have dirt on Kevin, what he's doing, where he's been, where he's going, etc. I also noticed Wayne finally lost that gross-ass mullet. Finally. Kevin, who's at the kitchen table doing his homework, basically telling Wayne to shut the hell up as their mom turns around asking, oh, who's Robbie Hudson? Now, I noticed that Norma's got a haircut. She looks so nice. It's just cut like a couple inches below her ear. So it's really cute. Wayne, of course, goes to fill her in on this guy's sex capades, but luckily, Kevin cuts him off in time and tells her, oh, it's just a guy from school. Kevin tells her, well, I'll need a ride, too. And then Wayne, big mouth that he is, asks, we wouldn't be any chance be taking little Winnie, would we? Norma tells Wayne, well, of course he's taking Winnie. They're a couple. Yeah, and long time coming, too, after making us wait for 3 seasons. She looks at Kevin and asks, right, honey? As she grabs a laundry basket, heading out of the kitchen, telling him, I'm sure we can arrange something, as she winks at him. Aw, Mama Arnold. She loves her baby boy. Once she's gone, Wayne unloads on Kevin, asking if he's up to this makeout party, and telling him how, well, you know, some guy went down into Hudson's basement, didn't know how to French kiss, got the breathing all wrong, and suffocated. Okay, seriously, it's not rocket science. You don't shove your tongue down someone's throat till they choke on it. Of course, Wayne ends up laughing like a maniac as we hear thunderclaps in the background. It's all good. He's just fucking with him. Then we hear Ben Stein as Mr. Cantwell narrating another film strip about a horny toad. How funny. Kevin and Winnie are listening as Paul, who's sitting behind them, is all like, "So, guys, Friday night, huh? It's gonna be awesome." Damn, Paul, could you be any louder? I'm not sure if the kids down the hall heard you. That boy does not know how to whisper. Kevin whispers to Winnie that, you know, we haven't really talked about this party. And Winnie asks him, "Well, what do you mean?" And he says, "Well, do you really want to go?" And she tells him, "Well, I said that I did." And then she asks, "Well, don't you?" And he tells her, "Well, I guess so." And then she's like, "Well, what do you mean, you guess so?" He tries to explain, but caves and settles for it. "Well, I just want to do what you want to do." And she says, "Well, then you're saying you don't want to go," she admits. You know, and then she says, "Well, let's just go and get it over with." Kevin doesn't like the sound of that. "What are you saying?" And she turns to him and says, "Well, everyone's expecting us to go, so we should go." Kevin says, "Okay, so we're going." And then Winnie says, "Well, if you think we should." Good grief, the back and forth between these two is exhausting. Will they? Won't they? Just make up your damn minds already, will ya? The stress of this party is driving these two to awkwardness at the bus stop. They mutter hi and enter the bus separately. Ooh. Kevin assures us that they're still a couple and they sit at lunch together. It's like they were together but separate as they engage in separate conversation with the people sitting across from them. In class, Kevin tries to hand Winnie a note, but she's not having it as she ignores his attempts, facing forward, and then he finally just crumples the note in his hand. Then we see Kevin walk up to Winnie's door. Then, as the door opens, Kevin imagines Mr. Cooper grabbing Kevin by his jacket and lifting him off the ground, screaming in his face about how he found out Kevin's taking his precious Gwendolyn to a makeout party. But then, Mr. Cooper just opens the door and greets Kevin with a smile as Winnie comes to the door. Kevin mentions how beautiful she looked. So beautiful, in fact, he could kiss her. Until, that is, he realized he had to. Yeah, it's not so much fun if someone's making you kiss somebody. Kevin and Winnie head down the walkway as we hear a drum roll as Kevin tells us it felt more like going to an execution. "Just to let you know, I'd never been to a makeout party before, not in all my years as a teenager." Which is just as well, because makeout party is pretty much just slang for orgy, I'm sure. Luckily for Kevin, he and Winnie have nothing to worry about as they come down the stairs to Robbie Hudson's basement as the song "Hang On Sloopy" plays and kids are dancing, playing Twister, having a great time. You know, I always thought that song was "Hang On Snoopy," "Snoopy Hang On." Like, oh, there's a song. Yeah, I like this song, the Snoopy song. Paul calls them over while in the middle of playing Twister, and Kevin and Winnie kind of breathe a sigh of relief, like, this is what we were so worried about? I mean, it just looks like your average 8th grade party that they've always been to. So they get comfortable by taking off their coats, and Winnie kind of jokes, like, "You're playing Twister?" And Kevin guffaws, like, "What, you've never played Twister before?" And Winnie tells him how she actually broke her leg while playing Twister when switching one foot to another color. Damn, a broke leg while playing Twister? Nowadays, the company would probably be sued, and also the game would be recalled if that happened. So they get into the fun, throwing their hands in the air to the song "Shout." Hell, even I got into the song as it was playing. How many wedding receptions have I been to that this song has played? I know of at least a couple of them. So kids, they're playing Twister, stuffing their faces with popcorn, and doing the limbo. This looks like a sweet-ass party. Fred Savage, who plays Kevin, is really getting into the music, having a great time. Kevin's smiling, thinking of all the other parties he'd been to, just like this one with cookies and punch. And then someone flicks off the lights. Like, okay, let's get down to business. Enough of this G-rated party. Let's get down to X-rated. Couples gather around as Robbie takes a flashlight, turning repeatedly in a circle, flashing the light in people's eyes to decide which couple will go into the makeout room first. Kevin asks Winnie if she wants a glass of water, and he's like, well, we could probably find some water upstairs. But as they turn to go up the stairs, wouldn't you know, the flashlight hits on them. And Robbie's all like, all right, Arnold, Cooper, you're up. You're the lucky ones who get to go in first. Thank God it's not a lose your virginity party, but it's still creepy and awkward as hell. Robbie extends his hand outward toward the doorway with the hanging beads as Kevin and Winnie walk towards it. This room is outfitted with beanbags and a chair, and the doorway with the beads leaves nothing to the imagination. It's like those kids are all kind of in that room, and it's like you can see into that room. The only thing there is those damn beads. It's like, so you're on display making out with your significant other, and people are watching. It's like, that's creepy. I can see why they're both uncomfortable as hell. I don't know anyone who wants to be making out with someone while someone watches. It's like, yeah, so these kids are going to sit there, they're going to watch them make out. I mean, like I said, that's just weird. I can see why they look scared shitless. You'd think they were being forced to make a sex tape. Then that damn Indigata Navita song is playing. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to make out to that song, let alone have sex to it. Kevin walks over and grabs the beanbag chair. Yeah, have fun getting out of that fucking thing. This whole time, Winnie is hanging back by the doorway until Kevin positions the beanbag just so, and then she comes forward. She sits down next to him, and actually, she sits a little higher than him. Beanbags, I don't think, were meant for two people. They look like they have to constantly be shifting it to, you know, shifting your weight all the time to get comfortable. I mean, just as Jim Gaffigan said, how does one not look drunk while trying to get out of a beanbag chair? Kevin asks, oh, are you comfortable? And she's like, oh, yeah. He adds that, oh, I could add another beanbag, but she's like, oh, no, it's fine. And I just noticed her sleeves are all poofed out. They look like paper outdoor garden lanterns. Kevin comments on the music being nice. Really? I think it sounds depressing as hell. Robbie urges him, all right, guys, hurry up. Don't take all night. It's like, yeah, we got to get through all these other couples that we want to watch make out. Kevin thinks to himself that this really shouldn't be a big deal, that if they truly belong together, one of them would make the first move. She turns to face him like she's going to make the first move, but then she books it out of there and runs up the stairs, leaving Kevin to face everyone as he rushes out of the room into the doorway. Then, of course, he's like, well, I gotta tell them something. So he's like, I guess my kisses have that effect on her. Paul and Carla look at him in shock, and then Carla books it up the stairs like, okay, I'm out. Or maybe she just wants to check on Winnie, but she does grab her coat and purse. I wonder if that kind of soured the mood for everyone, and they just all went home shortly after, like, you know what, on second thought, I don't really want to do this either. So Kevin's at home, lying in bed, as Wayne comes in, demanding to know all the deets, since Kevin came rolling in early. Kevin's like, Wayne, I guess it was just boring. Kevin tells Wayne, butt out. Leave me the hell alone. Wayne tells him, well, as your older brother, I have certain responsibilities. And then he tackles Kevin, checking him over for hickeys. Dissatisfied at zero results, he tells Kevin, I knew it. And Kevin tells him, you know what? You don't know anything. Wayne actually tells Kevin not to be too sensitive, and it's not the end of the world. Now, here he's being a good brother, giving him advice and telling him it'll be okay in the only way that Wayne can. But then, he's just, after that, he's like, oh, you know, you and the Cooper will be fine. You can always be friends. Kevin feels pissed at himself for taking Winnie to that party. And now he's worried that now that they've come this far, that maybe they've lost each other, and this feels like a setback so early on in their relationship. He turns off the light and rolls over, but then there's a knock at the door. It's Winnie. She waves him forward and asks if he can come out. There is a lot of wind and fog coming up from behind her. It's kind of creepy, like that scene from Salem's Lot. I love how they kind of touch palms through the glass. We actually get Fred Savage's monologue here as he says, please, please don't let this be a dream where I can't get the window open. I love the line after she asks if he can come out and he tells her, yeah, just let me put some pants on first. He meets her at the edge of the driveway and asks, what are you doing here? At first she tells him, I don't know. And then asks, can we just walk? As they walk, to this little bridge overlooking a creek. He thinks she's going to tell him that she hates him, but it's the opposite. As she confesses that he must hate her for making him take her to that party. And she tells him how, I really hated being there with you and how it was awful. This surprises Kevin as he asks, then why did you go with me then? She turns to him and tells him, because you're my boyfriend. All right, so I'm just going to play this clip of the end. It is really, really, I just love it. I love the song. I can't play the song because it's by Elton John, musical rights and all that. So the song by Elton John is called Seasons. So, I mean, you could look it up on YouTube. It's mostly instrumental. And then at the very last minute, you get the lyrics. So I will be right back.
Please, please, please don't let this be one of those dreams where I can't get the window open.
Can you come out? Please?
Nope. This was no dream.
Let me put some pants on. What are you doing here?
Walk.
Okay.
I guess I knew what was going to happen. She was going to tell me she hated me.
You must really hate me.
What?
For making you go to that party.
Well,
I hated being in there with you.
I know.
It was awful.
Then why'd you go with me? Look, Winnie, let's just make it easy on ourselves. I mean, there's no sense.
I really hated it.
Winnie, why are you saying this?
Not that I really had to ask. It was all pretty clear now.
Because you're my boyfriend.
Oh.
Who else am I gonna say it to?
Well, there was a certain logic to that.
So I'm your boyfriend. Except you hated being here with me. Do I have that right? And you hated being here with me because you didn't want to kiss me. Do I have that right?
I did want to kiss you. Just not then.
Well, then when?
I guess maybe that's when I first realized that love was going to be much more complicated. And much more simple than I'd ever dreamed.
They banter back and forth a little as he tries to understand where she's coming from, and then out of nowhere, she leans over and kisses him as the song comes on. This kiss lasts for a few beats of her kissing him until at last he joins in, and then they break apart and walk hand in hand down the bridge. Then they sit on some rocks, smiling and laughing, having an inaudible conversation. Then we see them walking along the edge of the concrete barrier of the creek. And I'm all thinking, oh God, please don't stumble and fall in, as they put one foot in front of the other. Then they exit the little park and take off running, and it freeze frames as the end of the song goes, "It's funny how some lovers start out as friends." That's the end of the episode. I'm giving it 5 out of 5 flower power petals. 1, for seeing Kevin and Winnie as a couple, holding hands, sharing tater tots, passing notes, gossiping with Paul and Carla about other couples, who's dating who and who's breaking up with who. 2, Norma's new hairstyle. I like how it's shorter in the back. It's really cute. 3, Fred Savage getting into the song Shout at the party. Looks like he is having such a good time. He's having a blast. 4, Wayne telling Kevin it's no big deal about Kevin's kiss miss at the party. For a second, Wayne actually acted like a big brother. And 5, the kiss between Kevin and Winnie at the end, while the song Seasons by Elton John plays overhead. My wonderling words of wisdom: never, ever pressure your partner, dating or married, into doing something that makes them uncomfortable just because everyone else is doing it. It doesn't mean that that's right for you. Know yourself and your partner. Know your limits and levels of comfortability. That's what makes you compatible to each other. It's good to explore and try new things, but don't do it because that's what you feel others expect you to do. Stay away from basement parties. Nothing good happens in basements. Here's my quote for the episode, what you heard in the clip. Winnie: I did want to kiss you, just not then. Kevin: well, then when? Narrator: I guess maybe that's when I first realized that love was going to be much more complicated and much more simple as they kiss than I'd ever dreamed. Let's say hey to some new listeners. We have someone from India, Austin, Texas, Orlando, Florida, United Kingdom, India again, and Los Angeles, California. I want to give you guys all a sincere thank you for listening to this podcast. Whether you listen to it on SoundCloud or iTunes or any other listening platform that you use to hear this podcast, I love giving you guys the episode recaps of the Wonder Years every week, joining me as I go into full detail as we reminisce of days gone by with Kevin and his friends Paul and Winnie and the rest of the Arnold family, as well as giving my occasional running commentary and childhood stories. There are many ways to stay connected to the podcast, like the Facebook page, Looking Back at My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. You guys can comment on the photos that I post. You can also message me. You can also follow me on Instagram at LBOM Wonder Years Podcast, and follow me on Twitter at Wonder Years Pod. You can even email me with your Wonder Years memories and anything Wonder Years related or not at LBOM Wonder Years Podcast at gmail.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please go to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Join me on this Wednesday, for a very special holiday episode of The Wonder Years, Season 4, Episode 7, The Ties That Bind, which aired on November 14th, 1990. In this episode, money is tight around the Arnold household, and things don't look so good when the kitchen stove finally dies, or takes a shit. Jack goes to Norcom to ask for a raise, and gets it, as well as a promotion. Way to go, Jack! With the new stove in the kitchen, it seems that Arnold's problems are over, until it becomes clear that Jack won't be back for Thanksgiving dinner. Aww. So everybody, I want you all to have a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving, and be safe out there. I don't know, you know, whether you're going to have bad weather or good weather. Just be safe. And also, if you're drinking, please drink responsibly. Get a designated driver if you have to. and eat lots of turkey, lots of stuffing, lots of food. Because you know this only comes around once a year and we got to wait till next year. And also be safe on Black Friday if you're going out shopping early in the morning. You guys know the riots. You've seen the videos that people post on YouTube. Be careful. Okay. Have a good night.